Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I did something last week I've never done before. I stopped a message in the middle of a main point. And so today we go back to conclude our thoughts on philosophy or Christ. Man must choose between God's way of salvation and man's ideas of salvation. And we as believers know there is only one way of salvation, and that one way is through Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians chapter 2, we read about Jesus Christ being all we need. He's all we need for salvation. Once again, we're in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. If you would stand with me as we read the Word of God. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we just thank you for the way it speaks to hearts. Your ways are not our ways, and your timing is always perfect. And we ask now, Lord, that you would use this passage of Scripture in our lives in such a way that the Holy Spirit would bring each of us closer to you through maturity, through understanding your word, and through being able to be on guard against the humanistic philosophies of this world, that we might not be led away or spoiled through the ideas that this world has. We thank you for each one who is here today. Lord, we ask for everyone who is hearing this message, and just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help each to understand very clearly the most important thing in life is having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again the third day. And because he is the resurrection and the life, those who believe in him, though they die, yet shall they live. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about the prominent presence of philosophy. Philosophy is that love of wisdom that is ingrained in the human brain, the human soul, that desire to know things. Philosophers developed, the first philosophers arose in the Greek Roman Empire, way before Jesus Christ, back during the times and the days of the prophet Jeremiah, about 600 BC, and they developed ideas and wisdom and knowledge concerning all branches of science. And those philosophers, most of them were polytheistic, and they believed in many different gods. They believed there was a God for everything, and that they believed that there were gods everywhere, and they believed that there were many ways of reaching nirvana or perfect bliss, or if there was life after death. Each one of those gods would have a small part in determining whether you would experience that life after death, or where you would be, what your position would be in life after death. The problem with philosophy since the very beginning of philosophy is that their search and quest for knowledge left God out of the picture. And we learned last week that from Scripture, we learned that in order to have wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom and knowledge, you must begin with God, the fear of God. The understanding and respect that God exists is the beginning of wisdom, and that's truly important for us to understand. And that all human philosophy and all humanistic thinking leaves God out of the picture, And it has gotten to the point, not just recently, but in many centuries past, that the philosophies of the world have been a tool of Satan. They have been used by Satan to actually try to argue against the existence of God. And they've brought lots of things into play, including evolution. That's one of the big areas of philosophy that scientists have used to try to prove that there is no God, or if there was a God, that he is dead, and that there are indeed many gods, and that we are actually gods ourselves. And so we have to be very careful what we listen to. We have to be very careful what we read, what we are influenced by, because humanistic philosophy and humanistic ideas have permeated our society to the point that it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, you turn on the television, you listen to the radio, you read books, you watch movies, you read the newspaper, you listen to the news. Humanistic philosophy is in every aspect, every part of society that we can imagine. We talked about the deficiency of philosophy. We'll never be saved by following humanistic thinking. Humanistic ideas or the wisdom of the world will never lead us to God. It will lead us away from God. So we have to be very careful. There's the danger of philosophy, and that's why Paul says, beware in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you, lead you away from your understanding of God, lead you away from the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And so humanistic philosophy will do everything it can as a tool of Satan to lead people away from the truth with a capital T. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from the destruction of philosophy. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, separation from God. And so, beware, lest any man spoil or lead you away from the understanding of truth through the quest for knowledge, the love of knowledge, philosophy. And also the danger of digression through vain deceit, trickery, sorcery, methods used in philosophy to draw man away from the truth again. Empty, vain means empty. It is not going to lead to eternal life. Deceit or deception is what Satan is putting in philosophy to lead people away. And so that brings us to our third point, the danger of a defective past. Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you after the tradition of men. You see that verse, that phrase in verse 8? After the tradition of men. The word tradition is paradosis, and it means the ideas or the practices that have been handed down from one generation to another. And that has been going on since time began. Parents teach their children what they believe, what they consider to be important. And if they have an understanding of religion and a relationship with God, that's passed on from generation to generation. But if they don't, then the minds of the offspring of any generation is open to whatever the world has to offer. And what is that? That's vain deceit. That's philosophy. That's humanistic thinking. That is an urge or a method of pushing people, drawing people away from God rather than bringing them to God. So the tradition of men is the ideas or the practices that have been handed down from generation to one generation to the next and accepted as truth. And just because people believe something that's handed down through the years, that does not make it true. That does not make it true. In our generation, one of the ideas, just as an example, one idea that was handed down from generation to generation to generation is the idea that the Lord helps those who help themselves. Do you ever hear that statement, that cliche? I had discussions. I remember having discussions with my father-in-law about that. He declared it was absolute truth. He declared that it was somewhere in the Bible. If you read the Bible, You'll find it there. Well, I read the Bible and I searched the concordances and I asked a lot of questions and I did a lot of research. It's not there. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the Lord helps those who help themselves. But that was an idea that was handed down from his parents or somewhere in his past. He got that and he handed it down to his offspring. Even though he believed in God and believed in the Bible and believed the Bible was 100% true, he honestly believed that the Lord only helps those who help themselves. In other words, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you make an effort to find God and you will. And it's a harmful philosophy. Or as some of us, like myself, you've heard my testimony, how I grew up in a denomination that had a wrong idea of the doctrine of tongues, the gift of tongues, and speaking in tongues and all of that. And they also had a wrong idea about the doctrine of eternal security. I believed as a child, growing up as a teenager, I believed that a person had to be very careful that they didn't backslide. If a Christian backslid and backslid enough, he would lose his salvation. And by the grace of God, through the Word of God, and I'm thankful it was not just through circumstances and the testimony of people, I'm thankful for those, the use of those in my life by God, but it was through His Word that He showed me the truth on those areas. But those were things that were handed down from, well, my parents' parents grew up in that denomination, and then my parents grew up in that denomination, and then myself and my brother and my sister, and I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to God that through His mercy and grace, He showed us the truth and helped us to get away from a defective past, and see the truth of God's Word. But it's hard for people to leave a false religion or a cult, because those are the things that they've been taught as true by their fathers and their fathers before them. Most philosophers have built upon the work of previous philosophers. Most of the ideas that they have are not their own, but they've adopted the ideas of those before them. First century Judaism is a good example of the effects of tradition. With so many customs and rituals and teachings handed down, a lot of Jews, even today, have a hard time distinguishing between what's biblical, what actually came from God, and what's actually the tradition of men. In Mark chapter 7, we have the record of an exchange between the scribes and the Pharisees and Jesus on that very subject. In verse 5, they ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders?" And Jesus replied, he said to them, "You hold the tradition of men as, for example, the washing of pots and cups, yet you reject the commandment of God, which says to honor thy father and thy mother." He says, you have mixed up tradition and philosophy with truth. And so we need to be careful that we do not set aside the Word of God. The commandments of God lead us in the way of righteousness. So the danger of a defective past. Then we also have the danger of despiritualizing our beginnings. The rudiments of the world, again in verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you or lead you away through the philosophy and the rudiments of the world." The rudiments of the world, or the elementary principles of creation. And the teaching of evolution. The teaching of evolution would be a prime example. Nothing has done more damage to the spiritual thinking of America than the teaching of evolution in our public schools as a scientific fact. And evolutionists' primary purpose, even though they wouldn't admit that this is true, for most of them, their primary purpose is to get people to believe that there is no God. There is no creator. All of us just happened to come into existence through a process that took millions and billions of years. And this is the result of everything just changing and you know what I'm talking about, changing and one thing becoming something else until finally we have the advanced society that we have today and it all started with a one-celled organism somewhere in the middle of the ocean. Nonsense, we say. Yes, nonsense. But that is the teaching that is being taught as fact. And they try to convince us that, hey, look, we are scientists. We have studied. We're highly educated, advanced thinkers. But the problem is they can't even prove their own theories. They don't tell you that, but they can't even prove their own theories. And any attempt to prove their theories is based on either on false science or just plain out lies. And these false teachers that promote things like evolution, they're called Stoics. The Greek term for rudiments, beware lest any man lead you astray after the rudiments of the world. The Greek term there is stoicheia, and stoicheia means the elementary basics, the ABCs of life. What are we talking about there? Well, we said the most important questions of life is what philosophers have tried to answer. Where did we come from? Who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? And the very simple basics of that is what Stoics try to answer, but they're trying to answer it apart from God. Leave God out of the equation, because if there is a God who created us, then that makes us accountable to Him. We have to answer to Him. Just like the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, you stand before God as judge. They don't like that idea. They don't want a God to whom we are accountable, because if we find out there's a God who created us, we might find out the truth. That the only way to God is through His grace and mercy, which has provided for us a Savior, Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Those are the ABCs. Those are the rudiments of Christianity. But the rudiments of the world will never lead you to God. And so beware, beware. Paul's answer to this philosophy is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, they knew not God." All of the wisdom of all of the philosophers has not led people to God. What has led people to God? God's own Word. Jesus Christ, the Logos. It is the foundational structure upon which everything exists. Jesus Christ. He is the bridge that crosses that great divide, that gulf between God and man. And the only way across that great gulf is through the bridge of the cross of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection makes it possible for man, in his foolishness, to come to the truth and be saved by grace. And so we need to be very careful of philosophy. And what Paul's argument is leading up to, what Paul is cautioning the Colossians to beware of, is that they do not be led away from the basic truth that they have been taught and that they have learned. And that basic truth is that what you really need is not all of these philosophers that are out there on every street corner trying to tell you how to get to eternal life. What you really need is Jesus Christ. And this is verse 9 and 10. "For in Him," who? Jesus Christ. "For in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You see, the philosophers are saying you need more. There's philosophy, the love of wisdom, the quest for knowing more and more and more. And finally, when I have arrived at knowing just about everything there is to know, I'll have all the answers, right? Wrong. wrong. All of the answers, all that you need, all of the fullness is in Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Jesus Christ was here in presence. And when He became flesh, what happened? We beheld all the understanding of science, right? In Jesus Christ, we finally realized how biology works and how uranium works and how the stars were formed. No. In Jesus Christ, you found out that God loves you. And God, the glory of God, wants to shine through you, through your knowledge of Him. And that He alone is truth. And He will lead you, that truth will lead you to salvation. Because He goes on in verse 10 and He says, and ye are, what's the next word? Complete. So what do I need besides Jesus Christ? Nothing. Nothing. I don't need to know. It's nice to know how an atom works and what all the different little parts of an atom are and what they do and to understand chemistry and understand how you put all these different elements together and you form new compounds and new ingredients and you can make bombs to blow up schools. You know, all of that knowledge is maybe nice. A lot of it is good. Not all of it. Certainly a lot of it is destructive. But what completes you is not how much you know, but it's who you know. You are complete in Him. In Him. Philosophers' intention, desire, and ambition is to know more than everybody else. To know more than the leaders, the powers, the authorities. But Jesus Christ, He is already the head of some of the principality and power. Is that what it says? He is the head of all principality and power. He is the head of all principality and power. So in verses 9 and 10, Paul talks about the sufficiency of Christ. Dr. John MacArthur says these two verses, in these two verses is found one of the most profound and one of the most blessed passages in all of Scripture. So it behooves us to pay close attention to verses 9 and 10, to meditate on them for a while, maybe to memorize them and hide them in your heart. Because this is one of the most profound passages in all of Scripture on the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Sufficiency means He's sufficient. He's all you need. Verse 9 is perhaps the most definitive statement of Christ's deity, that Jesus Christ is God in all of Scripture. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What Paul is declaring is that all of these philosophers, all of these false teachers are saying what we said last week. They're saying that Jesus was not God. Jesus was not the Savior. His death on the cross didn't pay for anybody's sins. He was just a good man. He was a prophet and a teacher, but He died just like all of us do. But Jesus Christ died without sin. Amen? He died in our place because we are sinners. He took the penalty of sin, which is separation from God, death. And He died in our place on the cross. And so Paul was saying Jesus Christ is God. He is God. And the most destructive aspect of the heresy of philosophers and false teachers is the fact that they say Jesus Christ was not God, and they take that beyond and go further and say there is no God. There is no one God, no one supreme God, no creator of all. But Christ alone, Christ alone, that's our emphasis in this point today, It's going to be in every one of the rest of the points. Christ alone, number one, has the power to save. Christ alone has the power to save. You see the word fullness? In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. That word fullness is important. It's the Greek word pleroma. And it means the all-inclusive ability. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, Jesus Christ. It's used over in chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In Jesus Christ, we have the all-inclusive ability to save. But the fullness of God dwells. It dwells in Jesus Christ, ketoikeo. And it means it settles down and it is at home in Christ. It's resident within Jesus Christ. It's there permanently. For all of eternity, He is going to be the only Savior of mankind. Christ is fully God and all of God is in Him. There's no good or righteous thing that He cannot do. That includes saving a wretch like me. Christ alone has the power to save. Christ alone is all you need. He's all you need. Ye are complete in Him. That phrase literally means you have been made complete in Him. You have been filled with the fullness of Christ. John wrote it this way in John 1:16, and of His fullness have we all received in grace for grace. Of His fullness, of His all that there is, that there is to be necessary for salvation is in Him. And we have received that through Jesus Christ. Christ alone is also the head. Again, verse 10. He is the head of all principality and power. He is not one of many heads, not one of many authorities, as the false teachers proclaimed. He is the head of all rulers and authorities. He is over all of the angelic realm and all of the demonic realm, the fallen angels. Paul reminded us that we wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness. These are the heads of the demonic powers. Jesus Christ is head. He is above. He is in control. He is sovereign over all of those things. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Jesus Christ is head over him. He is the defeater of him. After all, Jesus Christ created all things, including the fallen angels, which became the demonic realm. And like a potter who has authority over the lump of clay, he can do with his creation whatever he wills. And when the angels rebelled against God and in their pride fell out of his realm of glory, the Creator was totally righteous in determining that they would be eternally destroyed in a lake of fire. And that's the result of him being the head, the sovereign over all things. Christ alone is the head. So what are we saying today? We're saying that Jesus Christ is sufficient. He is our sufficiency. Those who believe in him, we are complete in him. We don't need anything else. As a result of the fall of man, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, as a result of that, man is without Christ. And without Christ, he is in a state of incompleteness. He's not complete. He's not finished. He is spiritually incomplete because without Christ, he is living outside the family of God. And being outside the family of God, fallen man, unsaved man, is outside the will of God. And you cannot get to heaven outside of God's will. He is spiritually incomplete. He is mentally incomplete. Fallen man is mentally incomplete because without Christ, he has no knowledge of the truth. And what is necessary to set us free from the judgment and condemnation of sin? Truth. So mentally, man is incomplete without Christ. Physically, man is incomplete without Christ because this mortal creature without Christ will never take on immortality in the sense that we will experience eternal bliss and be in a body in the presence of Christ for all of eternity where there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more sadness, and no more dying, no more tears. But with Christ, we are complete. With Christ, we are physically complete, spiritually complete, mentally complete. We're as complete can get in Jesus Christ. Those who are partakers of the divine nature, Peter says, have through his divine power been granted everything pertaining to life and godliness. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, including all the principalities and powers, Paul declares in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And everyone on the face of this world, every single person has a choice whether to follow human wisdom, philosophy, and vain deceit, or to come to Christ, to come to Christ and be forever complete in Him. This kind of teaching and preaching has become is sounding foreign to most of the world today. Many people, even highly educated people, would come into a church and sit under teaching like this today and say, that's foolishness. That's just too simple. There's no way that we can find truth and purpose and meaning for life and that we can know where we're going and we can know what the future holds for us just by believing in a person named Jesus. That kind of teaching is becoming foolish more and more every day to the world. But you and I who are sitting here today, the majority of us know that it is absolute, basic truth. It is the ABCs of life. God has given us all we need to know. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can have freedom from sin by believing on His name. Father in heaven, we pray today that everyone here would understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Him is everything we need. The knowledge of Him is a quest that every Christian will find, that we will spend an eternity learning more and more about Jesus Christ. We don't need philosophy. We don't need the understanding and the wisdom of the world. We don't need the false gods of the world, the gods that are just imaginary, or if they exist, they're handmade by man. They're just made out of stone or wood or some material object. What we need is the true God. We need Jesus Christ, the one who, yes, He died, but He rose again. And He lives forevermore, and He's alive in each of our hearts today. That's the foolishness of preaching that the world is rejecting today. But to us, it's the wisdom of God. To us who believe, it is the glory of the cross that we cling to and we hold to and we proclaim to others that all you need is Jesus Christ. May that truth be the thing that we proclaim freely to others around us. As people around us are dying, and we live in a fragile world, and we realize that death is everywhere around us, may we be quick to use our testimony and our faith in Jesus Christ to be witnesses, to share with others the true meaning of life. That life is about knowing God and enjoying Him forever through a relationship with His Son. May we be quick to share our testimony how God changed our life, how He took us and we were sinking in sin and shame, and we were guilty under condemnation, but Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins, and he came in and he cleansed our hearts of all unrighteousness, and he gave us a gift, a free gift that we call eternal life. And that gift, God wants to give it to everyone who will accept it and believe on him. So, Lord, help us to be those witnesses that we ought to be. And again, Father, if there would be someone here today or someone in the sound of this message who has not received that gift from God, would they see through the world's arguments, that those arguments lead to death and destruction, and that the truth of God leads to eternal life? May they realize that Jesus Christ is what they need. He is the one who has saved us. And so, Father, lead people to the truth through your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.